Welcome in to the other football podcast. Chris Chapman, Thomas Viola, Carson Merck rolling with you here on Wednesday, November 6th. Only a couple more weeks left in the new year. Crazy how fast this
weeks?
Yeah, that's it.
In the new year?
November 6th, man.
A couple more weeks in the new year, everybody.
Listen, there's like 7 weeks left in the year.
Yeah, but you said
that's not a couple.
That's also not a couple.
What? You think a couple is just two?
That literally is the definition.
Yeah, that is.
That's not even up for debate. That's facts.
All right.
Yeah, I'd be willing to bend to the rules and give you three.
Yeah.
All right. So not a lot of years left.
Not a lot of weeks left.
Drink a beer.
It's only 49 days until Christmas.
Yeah,
49 days till Christmas. I saw that.
And we have animals out here already saying they should be playing Christmas music.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I support free speech. I support relatively personal freedoms and liberties. If you are out here.
That was like a country twang when you said that, by the way.
Yeah.
If you are out here.
You busted out your whatever that garbage country music guy you listen to.
If y'all are out here playing Christmas music before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like. We're talking that Thursday. Midnight comes, Black Friday, good to go.
Yeah.
Not a minute sooner than that, you should be sent away to Gitmo and never seen from again.
Now, I feel like Black Friday is perfect for Christmas music. If you're going to... I personally, it's still a little early for me, but I feel like you're shopping for Christmas gifts.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it is.
That is very early.
Yeah.
It really should be 2 weeks before Christmas because you can't... Christmas music will wear thin on you, especially if you go Black Friday on.
Yeah.
You're done by like... The 12th.
Yeah, but I feel like Black Friday, you're shopping for Christmas gifts. So I feel like that gets you kind of in the spirit a little bit. But
fair.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm
if you're
fine
smart,
with
Black
it.
Friday, you are spending at home sleeping.
I'm fine with like music being played like end of November. Like you know, this year Thanksgiving is the 28th.
Yeah, that's late.
So like, if you started doing it like that weekend before, like a month, like maybe the cutoff is
a month,
30 days,
month out.
Unless Thanksgiving is before the 25th of November. This year it's the 28th, so you know what? You shouldn't be able to play Christmas music until the 25th of November. Like, to me, there's nothing...
No. Thanksgiving. We have to have Thanksgiving before you get to Christmas. Every year... Every year this gets earlier and earlier. These people are out
December 1st.
Let's get all Christmassy. Okay, I can understand.
They were selling Christmas trees at the store by my house in August.
It's ridiculous. Soon enough, it's going to be February, and everyone's going to be like, it's Christmas time!
Yeah, man. So
that's an awful.
It's a dystopian future that no one wants to be a part of.
Well, you know what's funny? I lived in the Philippines, as we talked about before, but they take pride in the fact that they claim to have the longest Christmas. They start playing Christmas music, decorating, and all that stuff in September.
Yikes.
Now, to be fair, they don't quite celebrate Halloween the way we do, and they don't quite have a Thanksgiving. But they do have All Saints Day and All Souls Day, and I always get them confused. I know they're right around Halloween. What's that?
Southampton fans?
Maybe All Saints.
The Saints, I believe.
Yeah, they are the Saints, yes. When the Saints go marching in, I think that's their song. But it's just weird. Like, and then it doesn't end until the end of January. So like they'll go through December and keep it going until the end of January. And I'm like, well, that doesn't quite make sense to me. But
so I mentioned I had a question, so... It's currently 6:07, and the clock in the studio says 8:07, which daylight savings time didn't even affect that. But it obviously is complete pitch blackout. Here's my question though, and we were all critical of daylight savings time, and this I could be a complete boob here, but what does it actually do? When we fall back there, what is the benefit of it, or what do they claim the benefit? What do they claim the benefit of it is?
I think originally it was for like farmers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they get
with the daylight.
An earlier hour because I guess they you know when you get up because I was getting up at 5:45 a.m. on Mondays to take my kid to school, and about a week ago it was. Like dark,
yeah.
At 6:30 when I'm on my way to take him to school. I don't think we need to. I like my feeling is I would gladly trade back that extra hour of sleep for an extra 4 months of an extra hour of daylight?
Yeah, I guess I just – okay, so I get – so they shifted it because farmers are typically up early either way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. That's what it is.
I understand the logic. I disagree with it at face value, but yeah, it's very dark very early now, which is odd. And I can't see Chris, which is oddly disappointing.
Yeah, we have
we adjusted our seating, and I legitimately like it feels weird not being able to see Chris.
That'll only be for 1 week, I think.
Do you know who? Yeah. First off, you're lucky. Yeah. Second off, do you know who originally came up with daylight savings time?
No,
this was in the movie National Treasure, by the way.
Most Deaf.
Close.
Teddy Roosevelt.
No. Ben Franklin.
Ugh. Ben Franklin did a lot of great things.
Nah, that
is not one.
He suggested it. They did not implement it until during the World Wars.
He was goofing. He was like, yeah, just change the time. He's like, yeah, there's no way they'll go for this.
Yeah, did they even have clocks when Ben Franklin was alive?
Who invented the clock? That's a question.
John Clock invented the clock.
That is definitely not true.
Is that made up? Are you making that up?
Any amount of money that is fake. But did they have? Yes, they had clocks back then. Clocks who been invented around the for clock? Like.
Let's ask Siri.
For all the.
Hey Siri, who invented the clock?
Okay, boomer.
Okay, I found this on the web for who invented the clock. Check it out.
Why?
What is that accent?
Well, what accent is that? It sounds mildly.
Oh, I have a perfect.
Well, wait.
Go ahead, answer the question.
Go ahead, guess. Guess what accent?
Obviously,
it's an English speaking country.
Was it?
Yes.
Switzerland? Switzerland, they speak.
No, they speak.
Swiss?
German and French in Switzerland.
I don't even have a guess. I don't know what that was. TV, you have any idea?
I mean, I looked it up, so.
I'm talking about his accent. He's trying to have us guess what the accent was. I don't even have any idea what that was.
Was it Norwegian?
South African.
I should have actually known that.
You're a weird guy.
Well, no.
This is odd. This is very odd.
Nelson Mandela.
I have some friends who live or from South Africa.
By the way, Christian Huygens.
Was the clock inventor. Where is he from?
Not John Clock.
No. Who I don't knows? Know where he's from. But
what year?
1656.
Ah.
All right. So not too much before.
So I have a perfect tie-in with...
Not too much before? That's like 120 years before.
What year was Ben Franklin born?
Yeah, we're not going to Google all the dates of everyone important. So while TV Googles that, so your accent on your Siri ties me into a perfect story that I mentioned.
Ben Franklin was born, my guess would be around 1750.
So when TV...
I was very wrong. It was 1706, but that's still 50 years before Ben Franklin.
So
50 years isn't that much when you're dealing with... Crap. I'm almost 50. I'll be 50 in 10 years.
50 is almost almost like a magnum lifetime. Like, that's a long-ass time.
Hey, in 2029, I will be 50.
Yes.
So
no one believes that,
I told TV last week when we were leaving, and he was like, oh, you have to mention it on the podcast. So I told him there's a gas station right next to our house, right outside the development. And I think the guy there is doing a fake accent.
Yeah.
I think he's completely BSing the accent.
Oh, you told me this too.
Did I?
Yeah.
I guess I told both of you separately, but...
No, I feel like I was there for this conversation.
Oh, we didn't talk about it on the air, though. And maybe it was both of you guys, like, I'll mention it on the air. Yeah, it's like super, like, groundskeeper Willie, and I'm like... Is this just like his thing? Because I'm sure the days aren't overly exciting to cashier at a gas station. Honest day's work, but I feel like, is he like, hey, this is my thing? I don't know. It's an odd thing to do, though.
Yeah, why would you fake a Scottish accent, though?
I don't know. Like, the first time he did it, and I was like, man, that seemed really
Why do you
really
think he's
forced.
Faking it, though?
It just, it feels forced. It doesn't feel natural. And I don't know what's... A lot of Scottish people look like.
You know how you get to the bottom of this?
How?
Ask him which club he supports.
Yeah, it's not a bad call.
And then you ask him who the greatest player was for that club.
But I won't know the answer to either of those.
That's all right.
Hopefully he won't either.
Yes.
Hopefully he'll be caught in his own lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you know what you do? If he tells you it's some club that you don't
think
exists.
I feel like you shouldn't be making enemies with the gas station attendant.
That's very
true. You just go to a different gas station.
Nah, that one's too close. It's perfect spot.
But, you know, I mean, obviously you know that Celtic and Rangers, good chance he's probably a fan of one of them.
What if he says Rangers and then says Mark Messier?
Then you know he's full of crap.
Technically.
No, but.
Technically, Mark Messier played for the New York Rangers.
You ask him what his favorite soccer club is.
So should I tell my other story now? Because I feel like you're very anxious for it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, boy.
So I told you guys
we're
I have a story. We're
setting a record here, by the way.
Oh, not talking about soccer. Yeah. He mentioned Rangers and Celtic. Yeah, counts it. That, buys, that buys us time. So I mentioned to you guys that I have a story that involves one of the two of you.
You did not tell us which one, but I just have this
suspicion.
Sickening feeling
I just don't
that
believe
it's me.
That it can be him because I don't understand how his world can ever like revolve into yours.
Yeah, so it is. It is about Chris Magnum Chapman.
Oh boy.
At Magnum702 on Twitter. And so last weekend maybe? Yeah, we'll say last weekend or towards the end of last week, I was sitting there with my lovely wife Amy. And she was on Twitter, and she saw that her boss, Derek, shout out to Derek, had tweeted something and tagged Chris. And so she was like, that's weird. Like, I wonder how they know each other. Chris responds to the tweet, and I'm like, okay, that's odd. Like, they seem to know each other. So Amy and I couldn't figure it out because, like, her boss isn't in like, the sports sphere or the radio sphere. So we're like, I don't know how they cross paths. And so I'm thinking there's some connection there. He's a fan. He's a fan of Chris Magnum Chapman.
Yes.
He listens to the hockey show.
Okay.
And so he was like, yeah. He Amy texted him and was like, hey, how do you know him? Like, and he was like, oh, I listen to the show every day. You could shout it out. You're on the show.
The Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show every day on Fox Sports 1340 AM, 98.9 FM in Vegas. From
LPSportsNetwork.com, I assume it's there.
Yep, and it's retweeted out every day as well.
Yeah, so he was like, no, I listen to him every day, and I was like, I'll be damned if I didn't find a Chris Magnum Chapman fan.
How
I
about that?
That is amazing. Yeah, I didn't think they existed.
My mind was blown. Like, I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah, that was funny. Oh, and a perfect I like to say I'm the master of the tie-ins here.
Yes.
So I have a perfect tie-in from Amy's employment to the soccer. So one of her coworkers, shout out to Mike, is an Arsenal fan. And so Amy had mentioned in the past, like, soccer would come up sometimes, and she knows soccer, but not, like, a ton, but she would kind of give him a hard time, which is Arsenal at this point. It's not difficult.
No.
So they had a little bowling get-together last week, and so I was there, and so I met Mike for the first time. And he was like, we chatted soccer a good bit. We were talking about the U.S., talking about Arsenal. And this was obviously after Granit Xhaka. And so he listened to the podcast, and he apparently told Amy, like, I don't even know how they got to some of the topics they were talking about. He was like, they'd be talking about soccer, then all of a sudden they're talking about something completely different. And I don't know how it got there. But, yeah, shout out to Mike. He is now a loyal listener, hopefully.
By the way, speaking of listens, we have not told anyone where they can listen to us.
If they're listening, they already know.
Well, that's all right. We need to tell them some other places they could listen.
Yeah, if you want to.
The important thing, follow us on Twitter. That's what we're really going after right now.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good call. At Other F-Ball Pod, I was like, damn, do I follow us? Yeah, at Other F-Ball Pod, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, BGN.FM, Charles Roughneck Scarves.
Pocket Cast,
the aforementioned LVSportsNetwork.com.
Yes.
But, we're merging. Obviously, Amy, works for. She works for MGM. That's not a secret. But they're fans. So we're trying to infiltrate and get the whole operation fans.
Well,
her boss was not keen on listening to the other football podcasts. In all fairness,
well, that's fine. He doesn't have to be. He listens to one of the shows.
Yeah, I feel like you couldn't listen to multiple shows with you on them.
Are you kidding me? I'm like the star of multiple shows.
Are you?
Not this one, but other shows. Yes.
So we talked about that before. There's not really a star here.
No.
It's all bad. It's like we're like a rotation squad on Europa League team.
Yeah,
some people have good. Yeah, we have our different good days periodically. I'm like in the middle of three different things right now, which is really unfortunate. But
so I do want to get to soccer. And
do you?
We were talking about Twitter and all that stuff. And so one of our local soccer personalities, Eric Wynalda, coach, of course, and technical director of LV Lights FC, he had a tweet the other day, and I kind of disagree with him a little bit, but his tweet was basically a knock on American football and a promotion of soccer. Now, we love both sports. We don't deny that. But his
not
tweet.
That any of us actually follow an American football team at this point. I don't think any of them are considered.
Very true.
Combined, they're what, 3-11 between?
Yeah, we are terrible.
Yeah.
So his tweet was, if you are down 3 scores with 2 minutes to go in football, it's over. I love that it's still possible to come back in soccer and you're not a slave to a clock and possessions. Nothing worse than watching a quarterback take a knee. Now, multiple things I will take him to task with on that tweet. A, if it's your team taking the knee,
you like to see
you love to see that. Now, unfortunately, TV and me,
we don't do that very often.
Yeah, and Carson, unfortunately,
we only have one more win than you guys. Yeah, so
but you did beat us, so they were taking a knee against the Jets.
True.
The other thing is, I can't think of any games off the top of my head where a team was down 2 scores with 3 minutes or 3 scores with 2 minutes to go in soccer and came back and won.
I can.
In soccer? Wait.
Okay, maybe they weren't down 3 goals at that point because I was thinking of the Barcelona-PSG game a couple years back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that wasn't – they weren't down three goals with 2 minutes. I think they were down 2 goals and they got the
– There was a Newcastle-Arsenal one that was probably not that to that level though.
I mean, we did watch Chelsea yesterday put up what seemed like 3 goals in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And none of them by the bat either, which was stupid.
He came on late. So it got me looking through the annals of history to see what the greatest comebacks were. And there were two that really, and I won't mention Liverpool coming back to win in the Champions League against AC Milan or what they did against Barcelona. But there were a couple that stood out to me. And this one, I think, today, if it doesn't happen, I wonder how different the course of history would be. Because in 1999, Man City was in England's Division II. They needed to beat Gillingham to get promotion. They were down 2-0 in the final minutes of the game. They scored their first goal in the 90th minute. They scored a game in stoppage or a goal in stoppage time. And then they went to history and won, or they went to a shootout and won.
I was like, they went to a history duel?
Yes. So they scored the 2 goals in the last couple of minutes.
When was that?
1999.
Ah, that actually is not that long ago.
No. So
actually, it's 20 years ago.
Imagine if they lose that game, they don't gain promotion to the championship. Maybe Dubai FC doesn't ever come in and buy them. And they remain an irrelevant club like they were for most of their history.
Yeah, that I guess 1999, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but then it is. That's a while ago.
Well, for you guys, maybe 20 years ago. I mean, I was an adult 20 years ago, so it's.
That's an understatement.
Yes.
You were already an elderly man by then.
So another one that I came across was, I don't know what year this was, 2014 World Cup qualification. Sweden and Germany. One of those clubs was up 4-0 at the half. One of those clubs came back and drew 4-4.
I'm guessing Sweden was somehow up 4-0.
I'm guessing Sweden was the one who drew.
Yeah. Germany was up 4-0 in the qualifier. Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored 4 goals in the second half.
Yeah, it sounds about right. That tracks.
Oh, no. Well, that was kind of the same thing with the Arsenal-Newcastle match I mentioned. It was like 2011 maybe, and Newcastle was down 4-0. I think entering like the 70th minute or 60th minute maybe, and came back and got a draw. Shout out to Cheick Tiote.
That's crazy.
RIP Cheick Tiote.
I remember there was a Liverpool game the year that they looked like they were going to win the Premier League and they didn't.
Good times.
Yeah,
they were up 3-0 on Crystal Palace and ended up drawing 3-0 in like the 70th minute, and ended up drawing with Palace.
What match did Gerrard slip in?
It was against Chelsea.
Nice.
The following week, by the way.
Nice. Oh, no. That was an unfortunate turn of events
Bad run of luck for Liverpool. This is kind of a weird one, but in the 2010 Africa Cup of Nations, Mali and Angola were playing, and Angola had just come off their first ever World Cup. They were up 4-0 with 11 minutes to go, ended up giving up 4 goals in 11 minutes.
Yikes.
And the last one that I'll mention was, I believe it was an FA Cup. It was a long, long time ago, but it was Charlton and Huddersfield in 1957. Huddersfield was up 5-1. Some guy named Johnny Summers scored four goals for Charlton. They led 6-5. Huddersfield scored a goal to tie the game, and Charlton won an insane game, 7-6.
Wow. Good gosh.
Yeah.
That's, not a lot of defense, but that was like the that's like tech prime Texas Tech football.
I mean, that's unbelievable. You're up 5-1 with 30 minutes left in the game, and you end up losing.
So the I think the cup ties perfectly into to what you and I discussed pre-show, which if anyone is new to the podcast.
We are the official.
Yeah, the official, unofficial Coupe de France podcast, which if you're not familiar, just do some research. It's it's a pretty large tournament, to say the least.
Pretty large, yes. In fact, so large that they are in the seventh round, and it's only November.
So we, so Chris and I know the answer, and we were going to task one of our Coupe de France experts, TV at work, to guess how many matches are in the round of the seventh round of Coupe de France.
All right, I'm going to give you a number. You guys tell me over or under.
Okay. Okay.
100.
Under.
Under.
I don't feel like we're in the round of 68 yet. I feel like it's still over.
It is over 68.
Yeah, yes. Over 68, below 100.
All right. Go with 94.
Pretty close.
Yeah, not bad.
88.
Shout out to Michael Irvin, yeah. Well, I was sitting there, so Chris was looking on the computer, and I was sitting there scrolling on my phone, and I just kept scrolling down. I was like, dude, it just keeps going. I was like, it's got to be damn near 50 of these.
Yeah.
And then we looked, and Chris was a hero and counted them, because I wouldn't have done that, and counted out all 88 of them, which was a lot of games.
88 games. That's...
It's insanity.
And it's only this, and we haven't even gotten to the point where all the top division teams are playing. Like, they've sprinkled in a couple of the second and third division teams from France, but none of the Ligue 1 teams are playing yet. So, it's an interesting tournament, to say the least.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
They start... Well, and like we were saying, there had to be a round previous to the seventh round where there were clearly over 100 games.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, like...
One of the teams that plays today? I don't know what that means. I'm confused. It says today, but it says there's no score yet. Weird. But one of them is just called Golden Star. I feel like that's like a Chinese restaurant on the strip.
You have to remember they could be playing today and are behind us.
But it says 11 a.m. I'm confused.
No, they wouldn't be behind us.
They could be behind us. It's the Coupe de France.
Yeah, and down is up is down in Coupe de France.
Yeah, but even if it's a team from Fiji and Tahiti playing each other, they're ahead of us.
Is there another? So there's Fiji.
Scores could potentially not have been reported.
That's that's very true. Fair.
They have to put it in carrier pigeon and fly it to the mainland.
I'm hoping there's another team in Coupe de France that can play Fiji. That's also water related.
Yes.
Like, I want like there to be a small club that's called like Dasani FC.
Well, there's Aquafina. An Avion. Yeah. There's an Avion.
That works.
Yeah.
That works.
Oh, yeah, that works. It's perfect. Yeah.
Avion against Dasani.
Or Fiji.
Yeah.
I want the water cup.
Do we call that the Battle of Atlantis?
Nice.
Oh,
yeah.
College basketball tournament, isn't it?
Battle of Atlantis. That
yeah.
The only reason we got into a tournament one year.
Nice.
They were terrible rest of the season. But they're like, yeah, but they won the Battle for Atlantis, so we're going to put them in.
So that may have been the... Shout out to the NIT, by the way.
No.
The preseason or the
postseason? The postseason one. The poor man's Europa League.
Yeah. It really is a Europa League.
Is there a better comparison in sports than that?
I think when my buddy, back when I was getting into soccer and my buddy was explaining what the Europa League
used that
was
as an example.
He was just like, it's the NIT of Champions League.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it is, right? Because you'll play in it, but do you really want to be playing in it?
The fact that teams depart the Champions League and go into the Europa League.
Wouldn't that be great if the NIT did that, right? Like, oh, you got knocked out in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Like that number 2 seed that gets upset by the 15 seed.
And they go and just completely bury the entire NIT.
Yeah, but if you're like the 8 seed in the NIT and that's a team that rolls in, you're like, oh, crap. Wait, we were playing UNC Greensboro. Now we're playing Virginia. No thanks.
Yeah, shout. Yeah, the Europa League and the NIT. If you're a fan of those, you got issues, major issues.
Well, I think
Chris Magnum Chapman looking up lower league stuff issues.
Yeah. Right. Like, I think there's probably clubs that are happy to be in the Europa League.
Are there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like tiny clubs.
Yeah. I mean,
like any team that finishes in the top. Like, is any English club happy to be there except for the really bad ones? Like, Newcastle goes. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Well, like a couple of years ago, Southampton was in it. I'm sure they were thrilled to be in that thing.
Remember when Leicester was making a run through the Champions League?
Oh, yeah. That was unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, Newcastle used to be making runs in the Champions League.
Back when Chris was in college.
Diapers, yeah. Well, I think if you're Arsenal or United, obviously you don't like being in the Europa League.
R.P. Mm-hmm. Granit Xhaka is captain of Arsenal.
But I think if you're like a club from like that Astana club, mm-hmm, or Partizan, you're probably happy to be in that thing, and you have an opportunity to play good teams like that team that Arsenal played today, Vitoria or whatever they are.
But if you're just going to get your stones kicked in by any of the top teams, was it worth it at that point?
I think if you get, you get money to be in it.
Yeah, but not to get beat down by good teams.
Yeah, but
overall,
if you're Astana and Man United comes halfway across the world to
ticket
play
sales,
you,
yeah.
Ticket sales. I mean, if you're
aren't those stadiums already going to be sold out either way?
I don't know. Like if Astana's playing Cluj or what's that, Apoel? Right. I remember they were in the Champions League a bunch of times. I think they're from Cyprus. You're probably not going to sell as many tickets.
Shout out Cyprus Hill.
Yes. And not as many fans, right? Like Man United fans may actually travel to Astana. They're crazy. You know, fans travel everywhere.
I don't know where Astana. What is Astana?
It's in Kazakhstan.
Astana, squash banana.
Is it a country?
No, it's a city in Kazakhstan. I think it's
Kazakhstan's the country.
Yes, Kazakhstan's the country. Nice. And
the for life, man.
I know I've said it before, but Astana is actually closer to Beijing than it is to Manchester.
So, to segue us here,
yes,
nice,
into actual soccer that was played today.
Okay,
I feel like we can go from the NIT to the tournament here, yeah, and go to the Champions League.
The big dance.
Because there were some pretty wild games.
Yeah,
over
wild
the course
games.
Of this week.
These 2 days. Yeah.
Also, before we get into that, I'd like to extend a wholehearted FU to the Spurs.
Which ones?
San Antonio or
Tottenham? Okay.
Did you bet Red Star?
No, God no.
Good, you didn't listen to me.
Yeah, no, I never listen to you.
That's good.
But I'm very tired of the all-out media push that Tottenham has been doing about the fact. It's ridiculous that we've heard more about how Son has felt about breaking Gomez's foot than we have heard about how Gomez is doing with his recovery.
I watched that replay like 50 times, and I still don't understand what happened.
Yes, it's a freak injury. Look, it's a freak injury. And sure, Son may have been inconsolable for it. Like, it's good.
Well, he clearly was.
And yeah. I was just saying, Son is considered a good guy. But
yeah, I'm not saying he's not being genuine about it.
Yeah.
But
the fact that that's the primary focus.
Yeah, the fact that that's all we're talking about here, and he shouldn't have had the red card rescinded. That was absolutely a bad foul.
So
you saw what happened from it. It should have been a red card.
Well, the other aspect of that foul was that Aurier was stepping on Gomez's foot.
So one, mm-hmm, so explain this to me. I think that sheds a little light on it. Son's tackle forced Gomez to stumble into Aurier, who broke his leg.
Mm-hmm.
So Son technically didn't break his leg. He got the ball rolling, if you will, leg break.
Because if he doesn't make the tackle, then Gomez doesn't.
And it was also not only an intentional foul.
Yeah, because Son was way behind the play.
Yeah.
It was a frustration tackle.
But he didn't break his leg, though.
It was an intentional and dangerous tackle.
Yeah, I agree. Card. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And yeah,
it shouldn't have been rescinded.
I just didn't think when I saw it and everyone kept saying Son broke his leg, and then I was like, I kept watching the replay, and I was like, I don't see the injury when Son hit. Son, clips his leg very clearly.
I mean, yeah, he broke it on – I mean, it's almost like if you run a red light,
mm-hmm,
and you hit someone halfway down the block, you still ran the red light. if you don't run the red light, you don't hit that car halfway down the block.
I think a better
analogy, but I respect it.
A better analogy would be if you run a red light and it causes two other cars to get into an accident.
Okay.
You still ran the, like, but
you're still going to be ticketed for running the red light.
Yeah, but I still don't think that the point is
your action caused an action between two other parties.
The red card should not have been rescinded. And it was a red card offense.
Do you now agree with me that Martin Atkinson is the worst ref in the Premier League?
Well, yeah, that sounds about right.
I don't want to confirm that because Chris thinks he's anti-Liverpool.
Oh,
well, he got caught manipulating the line on Firmino's non-goal on the VAR. He was the VAR official on that game.
Let's be fair, though. Let's be fair about the VAR with Firmino being offsides. By the letter of the law,
I'm not saying he wasn't.
He was off.
Also be fair about the fact that England. My conspiracy theory here is the Premier League is purposely screwing up VAR so they can get rid of it next season.
You know, I
think they're purposely being bad. They're pulling a Mo Salah, if you will, and taking a dive in order to get rid of VAR.
I don't disagree that they want it. That, you know, because then it's kind of like,
ooh, see, call Mo Salah a diver.
See, we told you it wasn't going to help the game. We told you, but you demanded it. But look, see, it sucks. It's not making the game better. And now you have pundits on TV basically saying that it needs to be scrapped.
Pundits are going to complain about something. Here's the thing.
It hasn't
You're
worked.
The only ones who have the problem. Clearly, you are the problem, not VAR.
Well, it's they. You know what it is?
Every other league that's implemented it is fine.
It's that
even MLS
guy
has somewhat been able to do it competently.
Right? Like it's almost like the VAR in England is a lot like Notre Dame football.
And then it pretends to be good, but it's actually terrible?
Well, yeah, it's like, yeah, you've got the tradition.
But Chris, I'm worried you're having a stroke with these.
He has a list on two pieces of paper, and he's pointing to one and pointing to the other. He's like, candy is
Chris
like
is
a bear
Chris
trap.
Chris is an allegory machine.
Well, it's like, you know, yeah, you've got, there's tradition, right? There's, how you know what it is? Here's an even better one.
Because that was a horrible one.
It's the guy, the baseball fan who holds on to traditions from like 50 years ago.
Listen, it's really just salamanders wearing skate shoes. You know what I'm talking about, Carson?
I have no clue what you're talking about.
I think Thomas was goofing, but I feel like your analogies were on that core level.
Because everyone, you have that guy who, right, like, oh, American League teams can't play National League teams in the regular season. That's what the World Series is for. Oh, the All-Star game. Not every player, or every player needs to be or every team needs to have a player in the All-Star game, right? No, I don't care to see a Seattle Mariner player in the All-Star game if the team stinks. Well, Ichiro's been retired for years and hasn't played for Seattle for a while. But
look, all All-Star games should be the best talent from the best, like the best talent.
Yeah, like
I still think there needs to be a Premier League All-Star game, but that's a discussion for another day.
No, I don't. There's enough games.
Yeah.
Really? Going to complain about one more game that would be fun to watch?
Plus, like,
how do you determine? Is it North versus South?
Yeah, why not? Or you do captains, like the NBA. You're telling
That'd
me a captain cool. to All-Star Goalies game?
Goalie's captain.
Yeah.
Boom.
Look at you. I'm going to slide to the side so I can
Anti-All-Star
game.
You can't do that.
Also, I'm taking this mic from now on. I like this one way better than that one.
Because there's going to be bias.
There's bias in any All-Star game, sir. I'm not sure what to tell you.
I don't know. I don't want to see an All-Star game.
Mitch Trubisky made an All-Star game.
Mitch Trubisky,
Mentor,
Ohio. who's anti-All-Star game?
I am anti an English Premier League All-Star game.
To be fair, the Pro Bowl is trash.
Yes,
the Pro Bowl is trash.
The Pro Bowl is flaming garbage.
But soccer to me is...
The best All-Star game, by the way, NHL All-Star game.
Nah, best All-Star game, MLS All-Star game.
No.
I'll allow both answers.
Because they lose.
But
that's not true. Remember when we beat Bayern?
Yeah, true.
That was a good time.
Yeah, but to me, though, I think soccer, even at a level of friendly or exhibition, I think soccer is one of the more fun sports in that
fashion. Well, yeah, because
a lot of tricks.
You'd have guys
cool
like,
stuff.
Yeah, like, I mean, could you imagine Ronaldinho in an All-Star game?
Clearly you can't because you don't
no,
want
no,
it to happen.
No, I'm saying I could imagine.
John
Joe
Shelby is the British Ronaldinho.
I don't think so.
100%. Everyone calls him that.
I mean, that is a better comparison than anything Chris has made.
He's the British Voldemort, is what he is.
Yeah. Isn't Voldemort British?
Yeah, Voldemort is British.
Well, he emphasizes the British in Voldemort.
Weird. We've already been over this. Brad Guzan is the American Voldemort.
I also had to tell my co-site expert, NewcastleTombs.com, about John Joe Shelby. Well, everyone knows about John Joe Shelby's history of being a bit of a hothead.
And a racist.
So he didn't know the direct quote on the racist claims. So I had to say, pardon my French, but, and then said what John Joe Shelby said. He was like, oh my. I was like, yeah, sorry about that.
Oh my is
but
right.
But that shouldn't bother you, Chris.
Ooh.
Why is that?
You are a Mo Salah fan.
I don't know what that means, but anyway.
He has his history of not liking people from a certain Middle Eastern country.
Oh, speaking of, we can transition to a hero story regarding anti-racism, Mario Balotelli.
Oh, yeah.
After he almost walked off the pitch
due
to racism in Italy, which is nothing new at all.
Yeah. It seems like it's a broken record.
Yeah, and then they read a statement, I think, over the loudspeaker, and was like, hey, like, the match will be called if it doesn't stop.
Well, they banned the fan for, like, what is it, 11 years?
Yeah.
But then
Balotelli comes in, comes back and scores the winner.
Nice. That's poetic justice.
I think it was either a winner or he scored a goal. I know that for sure. And it was a beautiful goal. So shout out
to Mario. I don't know who he's playing for, but I didn't realize he was playing for a trash team.
I don't know who he's playing for either.
Liverpool, yeah.
Nice. Damn, who does he play for? I know it. When you say it, I'm going to be so mad.
Yeah, it's not a good team.
What does it start with?
Juventus.
He plays for Brescia.
I was never going to
start
get
with Brescia.
Yeah, it starts with B.
Yeah.
thanks, Chris.
Who is Brescia?
I'm trying to figure out how his last name is. You
Balotelli?
Know what? His last name is not Balotelli.
I'm sure it's not.
His name is Mario Balotelli Bournois. His parents are Thomas Balotelli and Rose Bournois.
Yeah, but look up any soccer player like the Brazilian soccer player.
Oh, yeah, they all have like 12 names.
Kennedy,
yeah,
who plays for Chelsea and is on loan right now, has like 8 names, and I'm like,
but is anybody
I'm not
better
sure how Kennedy came out of this.
Great. Pepe is pretty great, but at the end of the day, in terms of the best Brazilian named players, you got to go with Fred.
Yeah.
There's two Freds.
Yeah. That's even better.
Right said Freds.
Yeah. There we go.
They both suck.
Yeah. I've never heard a neutral announcer as critical of a player in the Premier League of when Newcastle was playing Manchester United. I don't know who the broadcaster was. He was eviscerating Fred.
It was probably Martin Tyler.
The entire time. He was like, oh, Fred's got the ball. There's not going to be a forward pass here.
Wow.
I was like, oh, my God.
Martin Tyler is a big Man United fan, I think.
It was unbelievable. He was just absolutely destroying him every time he was on the ball. I was like, yeah.
Savage announcers are great.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt about it. I haven't tried to think who it was, but that was a classic time, man.
So we kind of mentioned some of the Champions League games, and then we kind of got sidetracked, which is what happens here. But
Real Madrid was up something like 4-0.
They won 6-0. The guy Rodrigo scored three goals,
spelled with a Y, not an I.
Yes, I kind of like that.
Juventus, Douglas Costa with a late winner
against Lokomotiv Moscow.
I was very surprised that match took those turns.
You already know who scored the winner for PSG. Shout out to Mauro Icardi.
Really?
Of course.
Come on. Was there even a question?
Well, like,
the guy's a goal scoring machine.
There were some crazy games like this, and it's two teams that we would never ever like talk about, but Dinamo Zagreb and Shakhtar Donetsk.
I picked Shakhtar to get out of the group.
Two guys red carded, 5 minutes apart. The game was 1-1 in the 83rd minute. Ended up 3-3. Dinamo Zagreb led 3-1 in the 89th minute. And then Shakhtar scores two goals, one on a penalty.
That was a good example of what you should have mentioned earlier. You were talking about late goals.
Well, yeah, but
it was 3-1, and they scored two after the 89th minute.
One of them. Now, to be fair, the penalty came in the 8th minute of stoppage time. How many games get 8 minutes of stop? Like, that must have been
a couple red cards.
I'm 99% sure that's how Everton scored their goal this week. Was nice. Penalty, or maybe not? I think it was a penalty.
Well, there were
kick
a couple of own goals,
time.
Right? Didn't? No, that was
there was a lot of red cards in the Champions League.
Yeah,
this week.
Well, Ajax finished with eight guys, or nine guys, I'm sorry. And they that was a wild game, too, because there were two own goals by Chelsea. And then Jorginho had
Kepa's,
two,
which was excellent.
And Jorginho had two penalty goals.
Jorginho, elite penalty taker.
And Azpilicueta, I just like saying his name, had a goal for Chelsea.
Didn't I say his name a couple weeks ago?
It's a great name, yeah. Yeah,
Azpilicueta.
Like the funny name. The funny thing though is like as much as I dislike Chelsea and I can't stand their owner, I don't like their fans. Their fans aren't exactly the most classiest group of people.
Yeah.
But this Chelsea team is actually fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like obviously they have
it's almost like putting Pulisic in the lineup is a good thing.
Yeah, but even aside from him,
no.
Tammy Abraham is fun to watch.
Mason Mount.
Christian Pulisic.
I think
N'Golo Kante.
You can't forget the bat.
No, you can never forget the bat. The bat's on the top of everyone's
list.
I
almost feel like them not being able to sign players was actually a good thing because they
unlike what we said about Spurs last year.
Yeah. I know.
We're like, oh yeah, they're good, great chance.
They made the Champions League final without signing anybody. And this year they signed players and they suck.
Yeah.
See? But Chelsea, you know, not being able to play or sign guys, they've been forced to play their young players. Like if this group of guys can stay together, they'll be really good.
Yeah.
Like in 2-3 years. I feel that they will be one of the forces. I know they're not quite there yet, but they're doing so well with all these young guys and Lampard.
What's Kepa's last name, by the way?
Kepa.
I don't even know if that's his real first name.
I
think it's Kepa Kepa.
Nice.
Yo Kepa Kepa.
I like it. I like that.
I'm Let's go with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yo Kepa Kepa. I'm down.
Let's see. I feel so bad for that poor man, by the way.
I can't say his name. Arrizabalaga.
Is his first name just Kepa?
Yeah, Kepa Arrizabalaga.
He's like Vaco. Basque.
He's what?
He's Basque.
He's like Vaco Kashvili, and he just goes by Vaco because he was like, I'm making everybody's lives easier.
I'm not even going to try to say the name. I know that guy's Georgian, but there was a Georgian NBA player.
Oh, yeah.
Nicholas
Pepe?
No. It's like Shikiasvili or something like that.
Arvydas Sabonis?
He was Lithuanian.
He was a monster. Shout out to
We also had the second best Georgian athlete in the Bay Area who played for the Warriors.
He just beat Andres Biedrins.
No.
Donald Foyle.
Donald Foyle.
I can't believe I'm blanking. I can't believe I'm blanking on the name. Oh, yeah. Zaza.
Pachulia. Pachulia. Yeah. Zaza.
Second best Georgian in the Bay Area.
There was a Zaza as well, I think.
Gabor. But,
yes.
But I feel so bad for Kepa.
That
is the worst feeling as a rec league keeper. I can't imagine what that's like in a Champions League
that
game.
Stage,
and how bad it hurts, too. I think that's the
thing. It does hurt.
I think that's the thing that we're underestimating.
It's not
here.
A good time.
Like, they're soccer players, but that still hurts to get hit in the face with the ball.
So, like, there's just certain things. Like, the Champions League is so weird because you get games where you're like, you look at it and you're like, there's no way. Right? Like, Barcelona drew with Slavia Praha.
Yeah.
At home.
Yikes.
Yet they crushed him on the road. So it's like no score in that game. It's just kind of weird, right? And then Liverpool, for whatever reason, struggled with Genk. They completely dominated the game. Like, I mean, to the point where Genk didn't have a shot until the 40th minute. Liverpool ended with 27 shots in that match. Almost 800 passes to 300. And yet there was Genk scoring, and it's 2-1, and Liverpool had to hold on for dear life to beat Genk. But I think maybe the craziest one was Dortmund and Milan.
That was a game
because Milan was up 2-0, and Dortmund came back to win that game. It's just nuts. PSG struggled against
Sancho
Bruges.
Score?
No, Hakimi scored two and Julian Brandt. Yes.
I love the Champions League Tuesdays and Wednesdays because I'm one of the rare people whose job is in a sports book.
Yeah.
So I literally was just able to sit down in a booth and watch the games while I put together my shows for the day.
Well,
so nice.
The craziest game I think had to be Man City and Atalanta though.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate because it wasn't one of the ones that a lot of people got to
see. And, for some reason,
any game that ends with a field player playing in goal is naturally
For some reason, they stuck with the Madrid Galatasaray game, despite the fact that Madrid was up 6 goals on them.
I don't think you can switch. I don't think they have that option.
That's awful. That is such an. I mean, we hated it from the get go.
Yeah.
But Bleacher Report and TNT or Turner, they suck.
Although, to be fair, Fox didn't do a great job picking their games either.
Yeah, but at least Fox, you had multiple games.
Yeah.
And you know, you could watch the Europa League games. Not that I would really ever watch them, but...
You could.
If my club was playing, I'd watch it.
But still, that was an amazing game. You have...
So yeah, go through it, because it is pretty wild. Raheem Sterling scores in the 7th minute. Man City's up 1-0.
I will, as a side note, say that Sterling is probably one of the top 5 players right in form right now in the world.
Did you see that rumor?
Top 5 cats, too.
Yeah.
Did you see the rumor? And it's ridiculous. About Madrid offering Gareth Bale and £70 million
shout out to Gareth Bale.
Poor to City Bale. For Raheem Sterling. Like, if I'm City, I'm laughing at that. I'm like,
100%.
First of all, I don't need the money.
And second, I don't need Gareth Bale.
Second of all, Raheem Sterling's better than Gareth Bale.
Yeah,
it's absolutely ridiculous. But
Real Madrid's just trying to get rid of Bale.
They're like, hey, so
it's like a keep to leave. They're like, look, we'll give you a 5th rounder with it. Just take it.
Yeah, please.
I still think he ends up at Man United at some point. I think that's Sterling? Where he ends up. No. Gareth Bale.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So.
I could definitely see that watch. He goes to Everton.
I don't care.
To
City leads. I don't care where Gareth Bale goes at all.
Unless it goes to Newcastle.
Nah, I don't care.
City's up 1-0. At the half, they make a switch. They put in Claudio Bravo.
Ederson was minorly hurt.
Minor injury.
No relation to Johnny Bravo.
Yes. I love that show.
I still can't believe Claudio Bravo is still, like, around.
How old is he? Who's older? Old. All right, gun to the head. Who's older, Chris or Claudio Bravo?
Well, I mean, that's just not fair.
I'm going.
It's got to be Chris, right?
I'm going Claudio Bravo.
Of course
Bravo.
It's Chris.
I'm going
Chris.
Claudio Bravo.
Nah, give me.
Chris, you're old.
Show me Chris.
Claudio Bravo is...
I don't know who Chris is.
He's 36.
Ah! How old are you?
40.
40.
Oh, nice.
Victory.
And you were trying to slander Claudio Bravo. That guy's young and spry compared to you, old man.
So he comes and into the game.
The future is now, old man.
And he used that youthful exuberance to obliterate Atalanta player well out of the box.
So he gets red-carded. Kyle Walker comes in to play goal for City.
Makes a save.
Kyle Walker, Texas Ranger, baby. Yeah.
And maybe one of the most underrated tweets, Kyle Walker has more saves in the Champions League than Claudio Bravo does.
Nice. Kyle Walker also in better form than David De Gea this past year as well. Yeah, that is an interesting time.
An interesting rule twist that I've learned in indoor rec is if you're the keeper and you're outside the box and you deny like an obvious goal scoring out, like there is no one else, it is you, the ball, and that's it. And you're outside the box and you just go boop and you just grab it.
Tricep pinches?
Yeah. They don't do a penalty kick. They do an MLS shootout.
Yes.
And I heard the guy goes, okay, it's at the dot. It's a shoot. And I'm like, it's not a penalty kick? And he goes, no. It's a shootout. And I'm like, I thought this was supposed to de-incentivize me from doing this as far as I'm concerned. Like, we need to be doing this more often, not less.
TV looks up and sees Charles Conway coming his way with the triple D.
Yep. I actually did save it, too, but it was... Nice. It was
by the way, they're remaking that, apparently.
Oh,
are they the Mighty Ducks?
Apparently, yeah.
I hope they have Charlie Sheen play the coach instead of Emilio Estevez.
You've got HIV and tiger's blood.
Carlos. Charlie Sheen is like actually gone clean.
Carlos Estevez.
What choice did he have? He's got HIV.
Really? He's also a fireball and relief pitcher for the Tribe back in the day.
By the way, I saw his ex-wife on The Price is Right. She was one of the girls doing the
How good would you be on The Price is Right?
I think I would be horrendous. I feel like Chris would knock it out of the park. He's old. He's their demographic.
I think it depends what game it is. But, like, I always wondered, like, spinning the wheel. Like, the one thing that kind of bothers me, if you're that first person that spins the wheel, they started on $1 right in the middle.
Yeah.
If you're the second and third person, you might be starting on 65, 20, 15. You don't have that advantage that the other person has.
True. See, I wouldn't be good at Price is Right. I would kick ass in Family Feud.
I suck at Family Feud.
I'm pretty decent at Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, some, but I'm a Jeopardy man. I'm real good at Family Feud.
They ask some weird questions in Family Feud. Yeah, like, what's the strategy?
Be smart.
No.
Know the people. I'm a man of the people.
You go up, you hit the buzzer, you get the answer. Do you play or pass?
I'm playing, for sure.
I am, too, because you
then
know
I'm
what?
Feeding everyone else the answers.
Because the person on the other side, especially when you get down to, like, one or two answers, you know they don't know it because they're always really strange answers.
Yeah. The huddle when they're coming up with the answer to try to steal is always the best.
Yeah, because
I feel like somebody's in there like, yo, we're effed. We have no chance on this.
I liked it better when he would go down the line and ask each person on the team what their answer was, and then the captain had to decide what it was.
My favorite all-time answer on that, and Sean and I talked about that recently, was what is a food you cook at a campfire on the, what is it, fast money at the end? And he S'mores. Said... No, he said tomato soup.
What?
Steve Harvey came, when they came back around, he's like, you ain't never been camping. The guy was like, nah, never. No, I haven't. He said it so confidently, too. He's like, something you cook in a campfire. He's like, tomato soup. Steve Harvey was like, you've never been camping.
No.
He was like, nah,
nah. Odd Steve Harvey's never been camping.
Shout
camping,
Steve Harvey, Cleveland native.
Camping is the worst thing that you can do in life, like as, yeah, a, just, as an activity.
I'm not much of a fan.
No,
I'm not crazy about it. I don't know. You know, like,
it's awful.
I don't mind being outside. I like the outdoors, but
I'm not an outdoors
guy. I don't want to be sleeping in the woods knowing that there's bears and mountain lions and
if
all
the outdoors are so great, why are all the mosquitoes trying to get in my house?
Exactly. Yeah.
Also, like, my parents made me do it once. It was terrible.
We never really did camping.
I did it once.
I was stuck in my neighbor's like old tent that had been in his garage forever.
So it stunk.
Thing reeked of like moldy cheese.
Yeah.
It was just a terrible night.
I did it once with the ex-wife, and it was I was bored.
Well, you have a kid, so.
Well, I mean, but this was pre-kid.
I was making a solid joke.
That's funny.
It was a slow it down. Yeah. But I don't think as a family we ever went camping. Like, I'm sure we put a tent out like in our backyard, but we didn't have like bears.
See,
in our
backyard. I would not mind doing it like in an RV, right? Like if I have RV.
Hang on. I got to bring in a.
Are you a complete, like...
What, are we calling somebody?
Yeah.
We only have, like, 5 minutes left.
We're not on a timer here, Chris.
Well, we want to keep it under an hour. That's our
new
thing.
We got this, and we got guests...
Guess the Magnum...
What are you doing?
Mom, you're on the other football podcast.
Welcome to hell.
She probably can't hear us.
She can.
I can hear you.
Uh-oh. Okay. Nice.
Mom, how bad was camping?
Wait, hold on. Mrs. Viola, is it pork roll or Taylor ham?
Really?
It's pork roll all day.
No. Somebody lied to you.
Oh, you North Jerseyans.
This is the greatest call-in guest we've ever had. Mom, how bad was camping?
Don't curse.
Was rough. You mean the part where the park ranger came and yelled at me for the campfire?
Well, yes, the blatant campfire you weren't supposed to start. That was pretty bad.
Shout out to Smokey the Bear. Only you can prevent forest fires.
Tom's mom does not prevent forest fires.
Hey, it was in the ring. It wasn't going to cause a forest fire.
Because we had so much fire starting experience. Okay, Mom, you're technically a guest on the show. I just needed to get you for that real quick.
Well, wait, since she's technically a guest on the show. We have to ask her the question.
Carson?
So, what is the best or your personal favorite fast food French fry?
That's a good question.
We're full of them.
Right now, I would say it's In-N-Out.
Nice. That's my pick.
There we go. You're still wrong about the Taylor ham.
I like seeing them cut up that potato right in front of me there. I like it.
Yeah. Good call. Your mom's got it. She's got the right answer. Yeah. Is she the first one to say In-N-Out, by the way?
No.
Yeah. I think so. Of the guests, yeah.
No, maybe. All right, Mom, thanks.
Don't forget Love you, mean it.
Yeah, don't forget to tell your mom. Yeah, there we go.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Love you, mean it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, your mom, I like she came on and immediately disagreed with Chris. That's how I know she's legit.
That's how you know.
She's par for the course, right?
All right, before we wrap up,
all right, so
couple things we have to get to.
Premier League. Mm-hmm. By the way, I really thought Everton was going to do it against Spurs, considering how bad Spurs is.
I had. I gave out Spurs as one of my picks. I was pissed that we got the penalty.
I mean, we joked about Shakhtar scoring in the 90th plus 8th minute. Yeah. Well, Everton scored in the 90th plus 7th minute. Yep. So. They get the draw. By the way, Spurs have not won on the road in like forever.
No, the Spurs have not won. Spurs have not won on the road since you were like a kid.
Yeah, well, you got to go back like over a year.
It wasn't even soccer balls then.
Yeah. Almost a year. We were kicking around
the coconut.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. My game of the week. I hope TV bet it because he said
this is the week.
Yeah,
he said he was going to bet it. Right?
This is.
I was betting last week.
Yeah, last week though, it turned out to be a pretty good game. Sheffield United and Burnley.
This is the Shields official,
is that, or Swords. Is that what they're called? The Swords.
The Blades.
The Blades. They won 3-0.
Sheffield's really called the Blades.
Yes.
I thought they were the Bin Ladens.
No,
they are the Blades.
Newcastle.
Yeah, got the win.
They were up 3-0, held on for a 3-2 win.
I started my drum roll way too early for
my
Chris Magnum
favorite day, favorite game, though. I wake up on Saturday morning to see that Man United lost to Bournemouth.
That was pretty great.
That's not good.
It's always good.
Yo, United and Spurs are mid-table teams now. If they're playing this week, you have to make the argument that's the Chris Magnum Chapman game of the week.
Well,
they're in 11th and 12th.
In a normal week. In theory... Man United could be part of...
They absolutely can be. They count. They're a mid-table team.
But this is the ultimate. The problem, though, is Burnley and West Ham.
You're going against a juggernaut.
So wait. I'm going to go with two. This week we have two Chris Magnum Chapman games
of the
week.
One of them is the Chris Magnum Chapman Cup, though.
Yes. Burnley
and
West Ham. Burnley coming off their 3-0 loss. They're playing at Turf Moor. Which is the home of Burnley.
Yeah.
West Ham coming off their loss to Newcastle.
Yeah, this is going to be the most mediocre game we've ever seen.
Ever of all time.
West Ham currently sits in 13th. Burnley in 14th. Only 1 point separates them. Both teams have scored.
The stars have all aligned.
It gets better. It gets better.
How can you have a second game this week?
Both teams have scored 14 goals.
Firmly mediocre. Yeah.
17 goals allowed by West Ham, 18 goals allowed by Burnley. I mean, this is one of the most mediocre games we've ever seen.
I came up with this formula, and then I knew when they met, and this is where we're at.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Turf Moor is even a boring name on the stadium. It's like the most average stadium name ever.
Now, honorable mention will go to Sunday morning before the big boys play.
Go Browns.
The crap team in Manchester. They are hosting Brighton. Now, right now, currently, United sits in 10th. Brighton sits in 8th. 2 points separate them.
Brighton's a little high. 8's a little high.
Yeah, you might be right.
Because like you string a couple results together, you're in the Europa League, which I'm not sure if that's a good thing.
West Ham and Burnley. I mean, that's the go-to Chris Magnum Chapman game of the week.
Yeah, and then our other game, TV. People are enjoying this feature as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
All right. Put a lot of thought into this. I think I got it.
For anyone that doesn't know this,
every week
your game,
and every week I'm guessing what Carson's occupation is outside of the other football podcast, because I know that we don't make money doing this.
Am I illustrious writing?
Yep. Not yet.
At BGM.fm.
Hopefully it changes.
Mm-hmm. But to this day, I still have no idea what you do.
Yeah.
I know where you do it because of Snapchat.
Okay.
And that is absolutely it this week. You are the night watchman for a museum, and at night all of the exhibits come to life.
I like it. Not true, but I like it.
I don't know if that would work because he's here at night.
But a night watchman would be going after this.
Maybe like 9, 10 o'clock.
R.I.P. was Robin Williams was in one of those movies.
Yeah, he played...
Was he the main guy?
No, that was Ben Stiller.
Yeah, Ben Stiller.
But Robin Williams was Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
I would argue Ben Stiller's best appearance in a film all time, Happy Gilmore.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Really? Ben Stiller?
Yeah. Ben Stiller's had some good movies, though.
I was
going to
say Dodgeball.
My hand.
White Goodman. I think I have to change my pick. I think you're siding with Chris.
Globo Gym. What about Zoolander?
Zoolander's one of the worst movies that was ever created.
It's not as bad as the one that Chris Kattan was in.
That's the second one?
Well, no.
What is Chris Kattan doing?
Too did not look
is he alive?
Yeah, I saw a picture of him the other day. He still looks like a toad.
Weird. No, I think Ben Stiller and Happy Gilmore when he gives Adam Sandler's mother landscaping duty.
Oh, yeah, always pretty good.
One of the all-time lines in the movie. But so, yeah,
I don't know. I'm still going Dodgeball. To me, Dodgeball is
nah, give me Happy Gilmore. Jam.
Yeah,
that's a tough one to top.
He was something about Mary.
Nah, I didn't like that movie at all.
What?
Nah,
Brett Favre.
I mean, shout out to the Gunslinger, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
shout out. Not a fan of the movie.
Yep. The pizza delivery guy was a good character.
What is that?
The
even
guy,
from?
The guy who was no from Chasing Amy, or Something About Mary.
Did you say Chasing Amy?
I almost.
That's
went
a
there.
different movie.
Something About Mary, where the pizza delivery guy, he has the hots for Mary, and Ben Stiller and him end up like being a rivalry, and it turns out he's a fake. He's not really a pizza delivery guy.
I do recall.
And Matt Dillon with the shiniest white teeth you'll ever see.
Yeah, I'm that movie doesn't do it for
what?
Me. It was before my time, I guess. It was probably big in your day.
TV's a fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
You guys, like Cameron Diaz. I said last week you guys were the same person.
Cameron Diaz and her all-time great.
What's the other one where he marries the girl and then on their honeymoon?
No.
Whoa. Bro, you missed. Okay, that was one.
What? Meet the Fockers. Yeah.
No, it's Fockers. It's Fockers.
That's what I said.
No, you did not. You said the actual word that it's a terrible joke of.
I will. All right, edit
we're done.
Out.
No, there's no, done, right? chance. No, there's no chance you're editing
there's
that
no
out.
No chance.
I will put a beep.
We can't put a beep.
We will beep that.
No,
yes.
That survives 100%.
Yeah. No, I can't. I can't leave that on there. I'll have to beep it out. But,
unreal.
You can use your imagination
Everyone,
if you're still listening.
He absolutely.
It's pronounced Fockers.
So what movie are you talking about, though?
He marries the girl and then falls in love on their honeymoon. The only thing, it was not a great movie. The only thing I can remember is that they're like driving from like the wedding to the honeymoon, and they put on Bruce Springsteen and they start singing together. And it cuts to the end of the drive, and she's still singing, and he's clearly tired of it. That's the only thing I remember from that movie.
I got nothing. I got nothing.
I mean,
for it.
Along Came Polly. Is that it?
I don't think so.
Heartbreak Kid.
That doesn't sound right.
HBK?
Yeah. Shawn Michaels?
What the hell? The showstopper?
Hey, you know what? Underrated. He was
Shawn Michaels? I agree.
Oh, well, he's one of the greatest ever. But,
oh, my God, in heaven, the sweet chin music.
I'm sorry. I think it was the Heartbreak Kid.
But nice.
Ben Stiller played the lion in Madagascar, too.
Alex, oh, that was
Alex
a terrible
the lion.
Movie.
You won't say that when you have kids.
No, that I was a kid when I watched that movie, and that was bad. However, Penguins of Madagascar.
Class.
Oh, they're
show.
Great. Yeah,
quality
the Penguins
show.
Are good. All right. So,
by God, is that Ben Stiller? yeah, shout out to HBK.
All right, so before we get out of here,
it was the Heartbreak Kid.
Our new favorite league is the J League.
Yeah.
Rough week for all of our clubs.
Yeah. Not great.
As,
I saw this earlier. I was very unhappy.
As my club, Shonan Belmar, falls to Gamba Osaka. They're still in the relegation zone.
Yorkies Gamboa.
Yes. Nagoya Grampus falls to Consadole Sapporo 3.
Three
they were crushed,
rip,
yeah.
Man.
And a red card as well.
Yeah,
so they,
man.
They
down a guy next week.
And TV's team, Urawa Reds, they fall to the Kashima Antlers. By the way, I think Kashima is the number one team in the league. However,
they have the most titles as well. I looked that up because I had no clue.
The good news for TV.
Once I'm going to get FIFA this Christmas, we're going to have to play like a
J-League.
Joint.
Yeah,
J-League.
Yeah.
I'm down.
So
the good, we start signing everybody.
Yeah.
The good news for TV, Urawa Reds are playing in the Asian Champions League final.
Ooh.
So he has it.
I will be watching that game.
Yes.
I don't know how. I don't know where, but I'll be watching.
Let me see. I think it's Saturday. It's the 9th. I think that's Saturday. They're playing Al Hilal, who I think are from Saudi Arabia. Saturday, 8:30 a.m., so it's actually doable.
Wow.
I don't know
what channel I do.
I don't
know.
I don't know how we find it. First game is
FS3.
Yes.
FS8. The
King Saud University Stadium, Al Hilal and Urawa Reds. And the return leg is on the 24th.
Oh, it's a two-legged affair.
Yeah.
Okay.
At St. Thomas Stadium.
That's the final?
Yeah.
The final's two legs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Final's two legs, yeah. So I remember when I was living in Asia, an Australian team won it. I can't remember which
Even
one.
Even MLS would be like, that's a little odd.
Well, how about
our playoff change system changes midway through?
We didn't even talk about it, but Liverpool has that situation with the World Club Cup, and we could talk about it next week. But
yeah.
The weird thing, I didn't know. I didn't know that the semifinals for the Carabao Cup are two leg.
Aren't televised.
Well, it's not televised, probably. Wait, it might be on.
I don't know.
On wherever that ESPN is. Plus, but it's a two-legged thing too. That's semifinals weird. Are two legs. It's weird, but that's going to do it for us. Other football podcasts: Chris Chapman at Magnum702 on Twitter,
at
F bomb,
repeated F bombs. Chris Magnum Chapman.
Listen, it's
at Carson
the, meet,
at
the,
other
you
football
know
pod. That was
awesome. Meet the Fockers. You can
yes,
say
meet
it.
Meet the Fockers. That's what I said.
No, you did not.
Meet
you
the
said,
parents.
You did not say that. You
Huff the Magic Dragon. You like
you find me at
you
TV
like
at
this
work.
Song, Greg? You like this song, Greg Focker?
You were not saying it right before.
We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. Follow us on Twitter, please.
At Other F Ball Pod.